Welcome to the Arab Spring, a history. Episode 20, Turmoil. In 1950, the RPP were crushed in the Turkish election, and the newly elected DP came to power trying to make more liberal reforms. But this just created problems. For the previous 30 years, Turkey had been a one-party state under the RPP. And so, the government was set up for rule by a one-party state. So, when the DP got into power, if they wanted to do anything, they would have to do it through the old mechanisms. The army, the bureaucracy, everything was designed this way. Wanting to get things done, the new government was prepared to work this way, while the party rank and file wanted the old institutions to be destroyed. This identity crisis was only compounded by İnönü, that constant reminder of the past, which kept the RPP out of power, though the RPP were too afraid to lose him. And we should not forget that İnönü always unnerved the DP. This fear drove the DP away from liberalisation towards a one-party state mentality. Prime Minister Menderes was anti-opposition, curbing political criticism. Though the economy was going well, there were good harvests and much public construction, so the DP were generally popular and received another crushing victory in the 1954 election. Menderes now became overconfident, expecting any form of opposition to bow to the national will, and thus alienated most of the intelligentsia. Riots in Istanbul in 1955 shook Menderes's position, and even the interior minister resigned. But there were no leaders to rival Menderes, so academics who had supported what the DP once stood for created a breakaway party, the Freedom Party, which we shall now abbreviate to FP to keep in our tradition. The various groups in opposition to the DP couldn't agree on a strategy to defeat it, and so when Menderes announced a surprise election in 1957, the DP still won, but with lower turnout and less than 50% of the vote, though they still dominated Parliament with 424 seats, the RPP having 178, the FP having 4, and a third opposition party, the Republican and National Party, also having 4. This may sound like a good thing for the DP, but these were turbulent times. Politically, the opposition was becoming more confident, going as far as to question the election results and calling for reform. But the real issue was the economy. The growth model for the DP was through agriculture, increasing the cultivated area and aiding the finance of agricultural machinery, particularly tractors. As I mentioned earlier, there were good harvests in these years, and American stockpiling during the Korean War meant that there was a strong demand for wheat. But this demand declined following the end of the Korean War, and a decline in the price of wheat accompanied this. Incomes were reduced for agricultural producers, who made up over two-thirds of the electorate. The government started a price support program, which created high inflation and a crisis with foreign exchange rates, which in turn created a shortage of consumer goods, which led to trouble in urban areas and rising social tensions. In August 1958, the Turkish lira was devalued from 2.8 lira to the US dollar to 9.025 lira to the dollar. Rumours of a coup were circulating, although the government could find nothing. and the military coup in Iraq in July 1958 scared the DP, who wanted more measures against the opposition, with Menderes talking of curbing democracy unless the RPP ceased negative policies. But the RPP would not be intimidated, being particularly helped by the decision of the FP to merge with them. The RPP and DP began to acquire new identities. The RPP focused on economic inequality, social justice, and constitutional reform, while the DP turned to personality cult, following a crash in Gatwick Airport in London, 1959, which Menderes survived, though 14 of his entourage were killed. And Islam was increasingly used. Inonu proposed early elections, suggesting that this would calm down tensions. Touring the country, finishing in the Aegean region, a democratic stronghold, Inonu was struck by a stone. Something the RPP exploited. In Parliament, the DP refused to discuss or even investigate the incident, leading the RPP to walk out. The situation grew worse and worse. The RPP said that the two parties would no longer be able to work together, and the DP created a government committee to investigate whether the RPP had gone beyond the limits of opposition in April 1960. It recommended the suspension of all political activity for 3 months and a press blackout on the investigation the committee was doing. And 9 days after the committee was created, it was given power to control the press, issue subpoenas, and imprison those who got in its way, as well as already having the power to supersede the assembly and the courts. But trouble was brewing, and martial law was established, and the universities were closed. Things calmed down a bit in May, as demonstrations never spread to the urban masses, but the situation was still tense with talk of military intervention. Indeed, a coup was in the works, and there was little anyone could do about it. After a tour of Western Turkey, Menderes journeyed to Ankara, where a cadet demonstration provoked the government to declare that Ankara was in a state of siege, provoking the conspirators to increase the speed of their plot. Menderes was due to travel to Greece, but delayed his visit, and was planning to announce a new general election, but he was arrested on the 27th of May, a pivotal moment in Turkey's history. 38 officers, calling themselves the National Unity Committee, or NUC, planned to amend the 1924 constitution to make the country fit into the post-1945 world, which was the original intent of the Democratic Party. It was only the last episode, but that does seem an awful long time ago. Professor Onar at Istanbul University was invited by the NUC to write a new constitution, and by doing so, a military coup was transformed into a revolution of intellectuals. The Omar Commission reported that the DP had corrupted the system and recommended that a new state be created, restoring civilian sovereignty. A provisional constitution allowed the NUC to rule in an interim government until a new parliament was elected. Within the NUC, there were two groups: moderates, who were liberal and who wanted to return power to the RPP, and the radicals, who wanted to retain power to more thoroughly reshape the Turkish state. Then the intellectuals were prepared to go, but the 14 radicals were purged in November, and the moderates set to work on their programme. Other radical junior officers would try and oust the NUC in coups in 1962 and 1963, though they would both fail. The new 1961 constitution created a bicameral parliament. The lower house would use proportional representation, while the upper house, the Senate, would have 150 members, either elected by straight majority or appointed by the president. These chambers would make up the Grand National Assembly of Turkey, or GNAT. The GNAT would then, from its own members, elect, by two-thirds majority, a president to serve a seven-year term. There would be a cabinet responsible to the assembly, and there would also be a constitutional court to review the constitutionality of legislation. So not dissimilar to the Supreme Court in America. This would hopefully eliminate the problems of using first-past-the-post, which tends to produce exaggerated majorities, and hence powerful governments. This has often been seen as one of the strengths of the British electoral system, an ability to get things done, which is lacking from an American system, more interested in checks and balances. Following the disasters of the previous decades, caused all by powerful governments, this was definitely a move towards more careful governance. To maintain the government, a National Security Council was created. It would include ministers provided by law, the Chief of the General Staff, and representatives of the armed forces. So, basically, the high command of the military. The powers of the National Security Council would be increased by a 1962 law, so that it could interfere in cabinet deliberations. Clearly, the armed forces were an autonomous institution. The Constitution also guaranteed the freedoms of thought, expression, association, publication, work, and enterprise, along with other civil liberties. An election was held in October 1961, and three parties did well. There were several neo-democrat parties who appealed to the DP's old centre-right base. The Justice Party won 34.8% of the vote, and the New Turkey Party won 13.7% of the vote, while Inonu and the RPP won 36.7%. Menderes was hanged a month earlier, but yet he still managed to influence the result. There was no way that a neo-democratic coalition would be allowed to rule by the military, so Inonu was asked to create a government. In November, he created a coalition with the Justice Party, but this only lasted 6 months. A second coalition was formed, which managed to last 18 months, before collapsing, comprising all parties other than the Justice Party. A third coalition was formed in December 1963, surviving a vote of confidence in January, and 1964 was a real struggle for the government. By now, the JP had become the most powerful party, led by Suleiman de Morel, and after a fourth coalition, the JP wound up in power. De Morel was a far more modern politician than Menderes was, understanding complex economies and becoming a man of the people, unlike the old Inonu. Though, while the right did well in elections, there was a political left forming in these years, in the universities, as Turkey grew disenchanted with America. Inonu felt betrayed during the Cuban Missile Crisis. He had said he would stand by America no matter what, preparing for a Soviet attack and a nuclear war which was to come, only to find out that Turkey had been a bargaining chip in negotiations which didn't involve what Turkey wanted. The Cyprus crisis caused protests which would last the decade. When de Morel won the 1965 election, he became a target for hate by neo-Kemalists, the Islamists, and the left for his American links. Things continued to get more and more radical and politicised as economic turmoil enveloped the country. De Morel wanted to push through a modern economy and remove the old institutions. This created many capitalist empires, but destroyed small businesses, alienating the lower middle class from de Morel, dividing the JP. While the JP managed to win the 1969 election, its share of the vote was reduced, and breakaway parties formed, the Islamist National Order Party by Professor Erkbakan, another democratic party, and the Nationalist Action Party by Colonel Türkez. The RPP also fragmented into several parties. It had moved left of centre, which saw its right wing break away into the Reliance Party, which would later become the Republican Reliance Party. Don't worry if you're not keeping track of all these parties. The point is that as the 1970s dawned, Turkey was in political turmoil, not to mention high inflation, rising unemployment, a rapidly rising population, an inadequate education system, while the universities that existed were producing radicals. As the government grew nervous of the Workers' Party and trade unions, vast strikes took place in June 1970, bringing Istanbul and the surrounding region to a standstill. By now, the universities were no longer working. The streets were dangerous places, and strikes were all over the place, while the Islamist right denounced Ataturk and Kemalism. The army did not like this at all, and generals met in March 1971 to discuss the situation. It was decided to remove Demirel from power, and on the 12th of March, he was forced to resign. Turkey was in a state of chaos, but as we have hit 1970, it is time to take up the story elsewhere. I am now entering the January exam season, so I'm not entirely sure when the next episode will be released, but it will probably be in 4 weeks. Check out either thehistoryofpodcast.com, facebook.com/thehistoryofpodcast, or twitter.com/thehistoryofpod to stay up to date with the latest information, and I shall see you next time, when we turn to Iraq. Allah.